This is a HeadGum Original.
Do you know what fronting means?
Like pretending to like the opposite. Is there a formal dictionary definition of front in?
No, I think you basically got it in a single word. You looked at me and you said, pretending? And I think that's basically it. But I don't know, the look, there was a long silence, and then I just asked you that question and surprised you, and the look on your face was really delightful.
Because I realized that I've actually probably used the term many times. Mm. Out of my own mouth, but also
to describe yourself,
just like oh my god, that dude was so fronting, like blah blah blah, you know. I don't know. Yeah. I probably have said that, you know.
Sure.
But without, and then when you asked me, then I sort of was like, have I ever known, you know what I mean, have I ever really known this simple word, what it means? I mean,
I even know myself and whether or not I'm fronting.
Yeah, I had an existential crisis moment right there, but I feel like it's just, yeah, pretending.
Let's punch it. The jam, punch it up, go out your feet, get your feet in. Punch up the jam, punch it up, punch it, punch it, punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up, get the party going, get your feet in. Punch up the jam, punch it up, punch it.
Slang is tough because sometimes you don't even know where the word came from. You're just using it because you just learned it from the environment.
Well, exactly. And I was just, you know, remembering this weird moment as a child where I was like playing tetherball, and there was and I was really good at tetherball. You know what I mean? Not to brag. And there was this girl who was a bully.
You're not fronting about your tetherball.
No,
skills.
I'm like,
you're
very
serious.
Like, this is earnest.
No cap.
Yeah, no, straight up. I was really good at tetherball. And there was this, like, you know, bully type girl, we'll call her Shelly Caminelli.
Uh-huh.
And she like kind of pushes me out of the way and takes my turn.
Okay.
And I just say to her, and I'm 8 years old, and I say to her, suck my dick, Shelly Caminelli. Right? and it was very clear that I did not know what suck my dick meant. You know, I was just using it.
Yeah.
And I had probably said it a few different times.
Yeah, you had heard it used so often in that same way by the women in your life.
Yeah. At this point, when I was using it, of course, there was a school attendant there who heard me use it. So I get into heaps of trouble. And they put in the way that we were punished in school was that we had to go in the cafeteria/auditorium when we were eating lunch. All of the kids that were in trouble had to eat lunch on the stage.
Ooh.
In silence, facing all the good kids.
You're in the stocks. You're in the
exactly.
You're in the stockyard on display. Let this be a lesson to you.
So I was like silently eating my tater tots while staring at all of the good children. And I was a nerd. I was sort of like, do you know who you're talking to? Like, I have straight O's. How am I in trouble? You know?
You're too young for A's. You only get outstanding or needs improvement.
But it's like I didn't know what suck my dick meant. So there's a moment of like, where slang is confusing, where you're like worried that you're using it incorrectly or whatever.
Yeah, I'm still not sure that I know what suck your dick truly means. When once you peel back the layers of foreskin. No, I didn't. Please don't put me on record as having said what I just said. Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam. You've joined us on a week in which we are in a dark place, a mysterious place, uncharted waters, which is to say that I, one of your hosts, Evan Gregory, is flying solo without my co-host and brother, Andrew, who's out on paternity leave. And we, by which I mean I, don't quite know what to do with the show. And so things are getting chaotic. They're getting weird, but I'm extremely pleased and buoyed, buttressed, to say that I'm being joined by one of our favorite guests, a return guest and friend of the pod, Nagin Farsad. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Nagin Farsad is fellow HeadGum podcast host of Fake the Nation, and also an extremely accomplished comedian, And I'm told that you've been doing some touring and working on a hot, hot, fresh hour of your own material.
Absolutely. I've been all over the country, and this is one of my favorite stops here at Punch Up the Jam. So exciting to be getting into another song with you guys.
Thanks
and by
so
you
much.
Guys, I mean you.
Just me. And Andrew in spirit, maybe or maybe not. He's off. He's off doing
yeah, let him have his paternity. Let his spirit also be on paternity leave.
Yeah. I'll grant him that. Yeah, he doesn't have to pretend to be here in spirit. You keep your ghosts at home bottle feeding and whatever you're doing over there. Well, it's a delight to have you back. Thanks for taking time out of your busy podding and performing schedule. Last time you were here, we were doing sort of an art house song.
Yeah.
I say something from the artsy side of the music industry.
Yep.
It was a Bjork tune.
Bjork, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not even one of her two songs of hers that everybody knows. It was an off the beaten track Bjork song, and I'm so sorry, but also so happy that happened.
Me too. Yeah, I'm very happy that it happened because it made me feel like more of an artist just to even touch something
nice.
That she touched.
Yes.
To even touch something that she had come near, you know, I just was getting a little bit of the fairy dust.
Yeah.
I guess.
You guys were you and Bjork in the song were in a threesome.
And when you're in a threesome, you suck some of their energy.
Yes.
She's sort of a witch, I guess. And I am like a succubus.
Right.
In that way.
Exactly how I would describe you.
Yep. Using sex to kidnap someone's energy. Thanks for that. Thanks for that diagnosis.
It's going to be, you know, on your tombstone.
Is this how this episode is going to go? Is this how this is going to go? Well, when I invited you back as a trusted foil to help me pilot this shit while my brother is out, you proposed a whole list of potential songs
in
such a delightful way, and I'm just going to reveal it to the audience, even though maybe this was private information which was the list of songs came from a mixtape or mix CD you had made for a boyfriend.
Yes.
Let's say 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a great mixtape. I'll say it. I mean, certainly hitting my tastes, starting with the song that we're going to talk about today, Frontin', by Pharrell Williams. But it also got really feelsy. There were some Smiths on there.
Uh-huh.
Not one, but maybe two Postal Service tracks, which is like the height of early 2000s feelsy stuff. And what else is on there? Joy Division. Joy Division is the one I remember. A lot of great picks. It was tough to hone in on this one, but Frontin' is a favorite track of mine. I think of it as pivotal in the pop music industry, and it also stood out as just like really upbeat hip hop track as opposed to shoegazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Melancholy song.
In an era where I think hip hop had a lot of fun tracks.
Oh, tons.
It was like the early 2000s were so fun for hip hop.
Which is not to say you can't have delight and fun now when you're listening to hip hop. But there was something about that era when there's a span of time in the late 90s to the early 2000s when hip hop successfully made the transition from being a huge genre that was relegated mostly to hip hop radio and its own vertical in the music industry to suddenly moving over and taking over all of pop.
Yeah,
and
it was
controlling the top 40.
This was pop music, yes.
Hip hop became the ruling genre and controlled the top 40. It controlled TRL and MTV, and you had to have hip hop producers making all the hits for even the most important teeny bopper singers.
Yep.
And that's what this track is emblematic of. I think this is the debut single of Pharrell Williams, who at the time was mostly known as one of the two guys in the Neptunes.
Right.
Which was a producing, you call
duo.
Them a super group. It's really just these two dudes that had grown up together in Virginia Beach. I guess they met as teenagers. Before I get into that, I want to hear, what made you put Frontin' on that mixtape?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm trying to like think back on, and this was, so I don't know what when Front End came out, but this, I imagine.
I can answer that one. It came out in summer of 2003.
So 2003,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but it's probably on the charts in May, but it officially released in June of 2003.
Okay, so, but this mixtape is from like a few years after that. So I'm, so this song endured for me such that I put it on a mixtape years later. And that's already interesting, I think. And I also, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think I was doing very much message making in these, in a playlist for a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. You weren't trying to say, I'm fronting.
No, but the interesting thing is, I don't know, because I loved making mix CDs and stuff like that. And I continued making playlists, but then like the joy of playlists is a little bit different. But I loved making mix CDs for people. And I did it up until like it was clearly no one owned a CD player anymore. You know what I mean? Like it was like I needed to stop doing that. And I don't know what the beholder thought, right, of this list. But the crazy thing is, this guy still keeps in touch with me. And emailed me recently, and he's like, I ran into this mixtape, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is on there? And he typed out every name of every song and emailed it back to me, and that's how I know what was on this CD. and it's funny because, like, you know, it's a little bit of an intimate question, but I didn't ask. But he's married with children now, you know what I mean?
But, and you're thinking, why are you still holding on to this mixtape? Something is afoot.
You know, I'd like to think that I'm, for every man I've ever dated, a person that they still hold a little candle for. You know what I mean?
That's the beauty of the mixtape. I definitely still have some oldies.
I would never get rid of a mixtape if someone
gave me.
Oh, of course.
Because there do be some quality music on there.
Yes. And just like the memory of that time. And, you know, it's awesome. It's so fun to like rediscover an old mix CD. Me and my best friend used to make them for each other all the time, and I'll run into her stuff and just like it's awesome. But yeah, I would love to be able to ask him in a way that I don't feel is appropriate, like, what did you take any romantic or sexual connotations from the song Frontin on this list?
Yeah, that's crossing a line. Asking him about the mixtape, that's inbounds.
Yeah,
him taking the time to type out every track that's on the gray area. He's beginning to spend too much time on this. You turning about and asking him, does this make you think of me sexually? That's over the line.
Yeah, no, not sexually now. Just like then. And then sure. Did you have, you know, wife, children, happy life, both of us, you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
But it is funny to think.
It's like there is no backstory. It's like you don't even remember why you put it on there, which I love.
But I do know, I can speak to maybe something that was going on in my subconscious, which is that our relationship was never clear. Right?
Okay.
So there is an element of, was I fronting? Was he fronting? We'll get into some of the lyrics that I actually didn't know.
It's one of those songs that's like very vibey. You're just dancing to it. You love the way it feels.
Yeah.
And years later, you have no idea what they were talking about.
Turns out I really
should have listened more closely. Yeah.
Well, the falsetto, Pharrell does such a falsetto on this piece.
Oh, it's the signature Pharrell move.
Yes.
His falsetto vocals.
And sometimes it makes it a little hard to understand the lyrics as a result. I just want to say that for
you. Yeah.
The
and I think that has
not
some
a criticism.
I think that has a lot to do with the swagger of the song.
Yeah.
You know, the pronunciation, the way the words just slide by. Let me lay on you just a few of the vital stats of this song.
Song facts.
So this song came out in June 2003, and a few months later got put on the debut album, or it's like a compilation album by the Neptunes. So the Neptunes had already at that point produced a ton of hits. They got together in Virginia Beach in the 90s, and the Neptunes is really just two guys, Pharrell and his friend Chad Hugo. and they met some key producers that helped get them set up. But you have heard of so many songs, so many hits that have the Neptunes production stamp on them. For example, even prior to Frontin' coming out, they did Shake Your Ass for Mystical, I Just Want to Love You for Jay-Z. They produced Hot in Here for Nelly. They did...
Oh, I didn't know they did that one.
Holla Back Girl for Gwen Stefani.
Oh, my God.
Milkshake by Khalees. And they did I'm a Slave for You for Britney Spears. So that's when they sort of... They started in the hip-hop world and started to cross over because they're so successful and just great at making beats that stuck. So they got imported into the top 40 world doing Britney and then for her recently ex-boyfriend... Justin Timberlake. They did several tracks on his debut solo album, Justified, when he had split off from NSYNC. So they're doing all these massive hits. But they had some hits that actually had Pharrell's name attached. The biggest one I'm thinking of that was a couple years prior to this is Drop It Like It's Hot.
Oh, yeah.
By Snoop Dogg. And... so that's produced by the Neptunes, which is the two guys, but it's the track is officially featuring Pharrell. His voice is on there. He's singing and doing his signature falsetto. So Andrew likes to torture me with a segment in which he springs some dumb trivia question on you. And so in the spirit of maintaining that torture, but elevating myself above the fray so I don't have to get stressed out about it.
Okay.
I'm going to quiz you.
All right.
In the style of Andrew. And your reward for getting this trivia question right is going to be a $5 Venmo from me. You get $5, $5, and your question this week is, when this song, Frontin', came out in June 2003, name any other song that was in the top 10 week when it came out.
God, in June 2003.
This song eventually peaked at number 5. It was a number 1 hip-hop song. It's on the charts for 23 weeks. That's half of a year. It's a huge song. There are other songs produced by the Neptunes coming on and off the charts during that time. These guys are so big. But if you can name any one of the songs in the top 10 that week, you'll win this quiz.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have to be a Neptune song.
No, any song.
Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z.
Great guess. But that's incorrect. But I think that...
Do I now owe you $5?
No, absolutely not. The wager is 5-0. What year did Big Pimpin' come out? It's a little earlier, I think. It came out a couple years before. April of 2000. That's a great guess. You're only off by a couple. But Jay-Z was in the top 10.
With what?
That week with... Crazy in Love.
Oh, well,
Beyonce featuring Jay-Z.
You know, because I wanted to do an either Jay-Z or Beyonce because there's like a period of those years where I felt like they were always in the top 10.
Yes, just killing it. Crazy in Love was so massive. What a huge hit.
Huge.
Here's what else was in the top 10. Number 10 was Unwell by Matchbox 20. Who remembers that?
I don't remember that.
Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
That is produced by the Neptunes. We can talk about that a little bit more at the end of the episode. Crazy in Love, Ignition by R. Kelly. Rest in peace, song that
we
used to love.
But can I also say that one of my memories, again, with this guy was that we used to listen a lot to that R. Kelly song because it was, again, years after it was a big hit because it was like, even though that guy sucks, it was a great song. You know what I mean?
It was
like,
a great song. I mean,
really great.
This is a debate eternal. You know,
of course.
Like, can you listen to Michael Jackson? Like, you know, some different artists are on different sides of that line, but that song's dead now. And boy, it was such a party anthem. It's just so catchy.
For years, though, it
so
was a party
singable.
Anthem.
Singable. So just for years.
Yes.
And next on the chart, number 6, is Bring Me to Life, recently featured on this very podcast and supremely punched up in a guest punch by my other brother, Michael Gregory. Magic Stick by Lil' Kim featuring 50 Cent. Mm. Can't Let You Go, Fabulous. Listen to how the top 5 in the Billboard Hot 100 are all... huge hip-hop artists. Number 3 was I Know What You Want by Busta Rhymes and Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Number 2 was Get Busy by Sean Paul. And number 1 was 21 Questions by 50 Cent featuring Nate Dogg.
Oh, my God!
What a time to be alive.
What a time. Those were exciting nights at the club.
Or if you're me, just playing those songs off of LimeWire in your apartment. Truly, what a time to be alive. The other most interesting thing about this song before we start getting into playback that I just want to put in the back of your mind is that Pharrell's on record as having written this song, Frontin', which became like a massive hit for him. Like, we're definitely glad he released it himself. But he was not writing for himself at this time. The Neptunes are just producing for other people and writing their songs and maybe featuring on a guest spot here and there. Pharrell wrote this song for Prince.
And
thought he had their star was rising so quickly that he thought he had a shot to like get placements on Prince Records, who he really looks up to. Pharrell's a huge music head, plays drums and piano. He didn't come at this sideways from being a promoter or a rapper or something like that.
He met
Chad Hugo at like a gifted and talented music camp type of thing.
And
they're both instrumentalists. They really look up to Stevie Wonder and Prince and all this stuff. And this song was pitched to Prince, who said no.
Wow. You know what? The falsetto now really makes sense because that's what Prince would have killed it.
You can hear it in the style of, I don't want your extra time and your...
Yes! This would have been a great song for
that
Prince.
Kind of, so when you're listening back, you know, think about the alternate version. I, you know, myself, pretty happy it went the way that it did.
Yeah. Seminal for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't have been seminal if it was Prince.
Yeah, it just would have been just like another... It would have been just another
Prince song. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. And he's like 2003. Is Prince making hits at that point?
Not really.
You know, he's just like, he's emeritus.
Yeah.
He's graduated.
He doesn't have to make hits.
He's already a saint.
Yeah.
At that point. He's already on Mount Olympus.
Yeah.
Anyway, we call that... Song facts.
Wait, can I ask you one more question?
Yes.
About song facts, which also would work well at a monster truck rally. The Neptunes, are they still in operational?
What a good question. I think the answer is technically yes.
Okay.
I think they're mostly quiet, but they do have releases on their discography up until the last few years, just much less frequent. Their most active period is the late 90s up to... around this release where they had their solo album called Clones by the Neptunes. And then it's such a success. They're producing a lot the rest of that decade. And then you see more of Pharrell breaking out as a solo artist.
Yeah.
And the hits that are the biggest in his career came around 10 years ago now. And that is Blurred Lines, song Happy. On Despicable Me, right? And what else did he do? He did Get Lucky with... Yeah. That's the number one hit, I think.
That song, Freedom. I don't think that was like a hit, but it was great.
Yeah, so that's around 2013 when those songs are come out, and you have Pharrell with his signature hat.
Oh, yeah, his hat. Mm-hmm.
Remember the giant hat?
Yep. Always got that hat on. He also, if I'm picturing him, I'm also picturing like a sort of like a Cuban shirt. You know, those
like one
kinda,
of those guayaberas.
Yeah, or like, you know, the little like embroidery detail, and then like, you know, a loose fitting kind of skinny guy in a Cuban shirt.
Pharrell's a man of style.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree.
I really think that figures into the video too. Maybe we'll start listening back to the song. We'll talk about the video, which is like, I don't know if this song is as big a hit without the awesome video. The music video. This is like peak TRL era.
Right.
Stuff. So if you're...
Were you ever one of those people that stood outside of the TRL studios holding up a sign? Because I could see that for you. You know what I mean?
Because you know me as huge music fan. Surely I was out there with the poster board saying...
Yeah. You were
invite
like,
me
Carson,
up, Carson
Daly. Yeah.
Carson, invite me up to the studio. Carson. No, I never did that.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't live in New York.
Okay. Well, that'll do it.
Then, but yeah, maybe in spirit. I'm finally going to actually play a sample of this song. And I feel like this is maybe the lyrics that you didn't realize you were listening to 20 years ago.
Let's hear it.
Sexy. Sorry.
Okay, for the listeners, that's very surprising little spoken lyric there was, girl, your ass is so fat. Didn't know. didn't know.
You've heard this song a lot of times.
I mean, a million times, and I never picked that out.
The beat is so simple and so good. It's really just the two chords. It's just like the two bars back and forth. But it sounds so beefy and so good. I found the instrumental somewhere. Here it is with no drums. You can hear this loop at the top and just hear the chords with no drums. Boom, boom. And then it just cycles back. But it just feels nice. So thick and so good that when it comes on, it's like, I don't know, I'm just feeling it in my body. And
yes.
I completely ignored these whispered vocals that are just kind of like tossed off at the beginning, just like as filler.
Yeah, because the lyrics of the entire song are just like a side note. You know what I mean? They're just a side dish that's not, because you really get it in your body pretty immediately. And it doesn't matter if you're at the supermarket or if you're at a bar, like you're gonna just start subtly moving it in a way that you can't help yourself.
The tempo is perfect. This is ass tempo.
Yeah.
But it comes on exactly right. You could be in the grocery store in the middle of pricing out different brands of tarragon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As we've all done.
And the ass tempo hits.
In the tarragon aisle.
In the aisle. That's the only... Why did I think of that product? I don't know. I should have gone more broad and just done something from the produce section. Everyone gets busy in the produce section. There's lot more room to dance,
actually,
over there.
And it's a little more festive. There's something about the vegetables that make you just kind of want to dance anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Smells fresh. The shelves are lower, so you can make eye contact uncomfortably with other customers.
Yes, which is what I want to do all day long.
And it's a little sensual. People are like touching cantaloupes to see if they're ripe, you know, feeling the firmness of peaches and stuff. And that feels very, you know, you're in your body.
Yeah, yeah.
So what the hell was I talking about? So when the ass tempo drops, you're already cupping two cantaloupes.
Yeah. Invariably. Invariably. And what I want to ask from like the supermarket chains of America is, how is it possible that they make everyone experience this song while they're in the produce aisle? It's like a weird fucked up thing with like how time works. You know?
Yeah. Who is pulling those strings?
Who's pulling those strings?
All that to say that maybe you started dancing and you didn't notice that Pharrell's just whispering, girl, your ass is so fat. But, you know, you see it in print and it looks bad. But I think we can agree that this is meant as the highest compliment.
I want to say
this is just thick booty complimenting.
Completely. And I want to say that even it doesn't matter who you are. Like George W. Bush, as president of the United States at that time.
Where's this going?
Heard this song and started moving and didn't know. And maybe even, because I think a thing happens where you sort of robotically start singing along. Mm-hmm. Maybe he even said, girl, your ass is so fat. Didn't even know what he was saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At like a State Department dinner where they played this song.
Yeah. He accidentally said that to Condi Rice.
Exactly. And she like, and it's like you don't even notice because the beat is so dope.
Yeah. And Condi would have known that GWB was just fronting anyway.
Right, right. Right, as he did for 8 years.
Wow, he really was full circle. Yeah, there was no there. It was all front.
It was all front.
Sound full of myself a rule, but you ain't looking at no other dudes cause you love me. I'm sorry, baby. So you think about a chance, you find yourself trying to do my dance. Maybe because you love me.
Maybe because you love me. So this whole verse is really a continuation, I think, of just I think the statement, girl, your ass is so fat, I've been waiting to get with you, is the front. He's just leading with
the cat call,
superficial bragging.
Yeah.
You know, the verse is bragging. You ain't looking to no other dudes because you love me. Just declaring, like, I see that you love me. This is displaying the front. And then in a minute, we'll get into him admitting, sorry, is acting that way. This is just how I do. This is just fronting.
Right. And and I don't know how old he was at that time, but I can say for, you know, maybe he was in his 20s or something. I dated a lot of men in their 20s. as I was also in my 20s.
Yeah.
And,
okay, that's up. Checks out.
And I want to say that, like, a lot of them are mostly fronting until they figure out how to do reality, just like how to do actual behavior. So this entire concept speaks to an entire 10-year period of a typical man's life.
Oh, preach. Yeah. I mean, it, to a great extent, I think that is true of all humans at all times.
Yeah.
We're all, there is some way that you know, it feels like we're supposed to be adulting and existing together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you are faking it until you make it, which is never. So you're faking it for your entire life.
But I want to say, in your 20s, you're really
Yes, you're at the apex
like,
of that.
Yeah, you are just full fronting it in your full fronting.
Yeah, and there's a performance of masculinity thing, too, that has to be
right,
even
and
more
then,
frontiness.
And, there's, and from the ladies, there's a performance of like, I don't care about you, whatever. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of that going on. Everyone is just acting like they don't care, or they're acting like the only thing that matters is the physical aspect, and they don't want to admit to emotions. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a lot. I mean, there's so much.
Everybody is playing coy at this.
Yes.
Like, you know, the music video is of a party,
yeah.
which is the ultimate experience of fronting, where everyone is just performing their own sexual appeal, hoping that other people
yep.
are attracted to them.
Yep.
What I'm thinking of is, I'm going to butcher this quote, but I remember at some point RuPaul saying that everything that you do outside of the shower is drag.
Yeah.
I don't care who you
yes,
are, you know.
Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Whatever
yes.
you wear, even if it's a suit to work, you're performing that character of banker or whatever.
Oh, can I just admit to you something really embarrassing, which is like I was at a restaurant in New York called Indochine last night. And it's funny because Ooh. Indochine was very, very popular around the time that this song came out. And it's still like, you know, this like fabulous, you know, Manhattan restaurant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a song came on. I can't remember. I don't know what the name of the song was, but like I went to the bathroom and I was walking through the restaurant like a very long me in like the star of my own movie. Tracking shot.
Yes, I'm picturing it. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what would I do in a moment like this? I'd put my hands in my pockets and walk real cool. This was last night. I was doing performance walking.
You were DPing your own
yes,
movie.
Yes, through a restaurant, I did a performance walk,
yes.
a tracking shot that was being, you know, Martin Scorsese was directing. And yeah, I was acting very cool just on this 30-second walk.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I mean, rate your own performance. How did it go?
I feel like I was killing it. And I honestly, again, in my own head, I'd like to believe that a couple of people noticed that my walk was really cool.
Yeah, well, you know, on description alone, I can guarantee heads were turned. You know, the swagger is the thing. The strut
exactly.
is the thing.
Because I was really feeling the song and the
what
restaurant.
What was it? What was
like,
the soundtrack
I couldn't
for this
figure
walk.
Out what it was. It was like a song that I'd heard before. And, it was this of a similar genre. Like, I think it was like maybe a 15-year ago song.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes on and I was like, oh, yeah. And I was just
picturing
like
something
it.
Off of the Garden State soundtrack, which would have been popular around the time Indochine opened.
Oh, yeah, totally. That would have been, yeah, it would have, that would have also made sense. But you know, but you do those things, and songs have that power. It's funny because this song basically is like the text of all of the subtext that we're all always doing with that, you know, RuPaul quote.
Ooh, great analysis. Yeah, this song is putting into text. All the subtext. All the, like a lot of rap songs are just the display of the front.
Yes!
You know, it's a little vulnerability here. It's sort of like, this is like a Motown character to admitting that you're fronting and being like, I'm Muggsy, you never seen a grown man cry. Note to self to throw in a sample right here of a Motown song where they're singing about a grown man crying.
I heard a crying man is half a man with no sense of pride, but if I have to cry to keep you, I don't mind weeping if it'll keep you by my side.
It's just sort of like it's puncturing the bubble of masculinity just a little bit, not
yeah.
entirely, because you still you're still trying to hook ladies with this admission of vulnerability, but it's a tiny puncture.
Right.
Let me play a little bit more. We got to talk about this falsetto.
You do well.
So then we tried.
Oh, I'm crazy about these harmonies.
Because you weren't used to how fast we touched. We touched.
Then we locked eyes.
Ooh, I wasn't there and I was going to tear your ass up.
Oh, it's a lot. Tear your ass up is a lot.
There's something so innocent and teenage about, I tried to slow down. We touched so fast. Oh, and then we locked eyes. That's romance. That could have been in a Beach Boys song. You know, like, then we locked eyes. ...
Yeah.
And no, I was going to tear that ass
right.
up.
Right. Again, it's like the text, and then Beach Boys was doing subtext, right?
Yeah.
This is like, no, just in fully, and then this was what happens after. But also, folks, if you haven't experienced this moment where you see a person on the dance floor and you're like, I'm totally going to fuck that person. Like, you know, you can write the rest of the night. You know how it's going to go. Like, that is a fantastic moment.
It's a moment. It's very different than the moment I hope that this happens.
No.
It's a very different moment, which is, I know. That's what Pharrell's describing.
Oh, so amazing. I'm personally thinking about a night I had in Berlin when I locked eyes on a white German tabla player who was touring with Ravi Shankar. Doesn't matter.
That's
and
a lot. Don't go into it. We'll be here all night.
I'm not going to go into it, but it's like, that's like, it's possible that this song was even like played that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like,
on the tabla.
Moment. Yeah. A delicate instrument. You got to be careful.
Just side musical note, I'm just crazy about the sound of this thing. Like, the falsetto is already that signature Pharrell that's like, he's conjured a little bit of Michael Jackson or who's doing this, like, just a couple years prior, Maxwell, that R&B singer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Prince, for sure, is one of the prime influences here on his singing. But he's brought this signature thing, these thick harmonies. I can't think of anybody else at this time that is doing this, where the whole hook is kind of jazz-driven. It's these chords. Kind of jazzy chords that they probably played in the studio and then are sampling over and over. And then when he sings like, and we locked eyes, instead of just harmonizing that with like, on a one other note, which I think would have been typical, like, or something like that, there's at least four or five other notes creating this really thick chord. This is an F chord, but instead of harmonizing it within that chord, he harmonizes it with four or five different notes from the other chord, G, and it creates this really thick sound that to me was really surprising at that time. Felt really unique. It didn't feel like, well, it made it feel really recognizable as a Neptunes tune for me.
But also, I think for people who don't know what you're talking about at a chord level, I think you kind of know in your body that it's unique because I remember this song, but then like many of the other top 10 songs you listed, I do not remember because they didn't have this like added element, you know, of innovation.
Of uniqueness. Yeah, innovation. Yeah. And I would never expect everybody like listening to this to be like, no, yes, I recognize the... but what, you know, what I'll try to do by talking about chords or whatever is put into words what is it that is making this feel unique. I think you can really feel this feels new. If you think about what other music is happening at that time, what's making this feel fresh? I really think it's the thickness of the harmonies. Nobody else was structuring stuff that way. And even though the loops are simple, it's only two chords, the way those chords are voiced, they're jazzy. The harmonies are really thick. It's not just a gospel style triad. It's jazzy. It's thick. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
He's standing on a red dot right now. I can confirm to listeners.
Man, every time I it's like, what's the point of these sidebars? But every time I do this, I get Twitter DMs from people being like, you forgot about the major seventh. You know, there's like 5% of our listeners are deep into the music theory and then want to police me on it, you know? So I'm trying to walk, I'm trying to walk a line, but I'm not.
Don't at him.
I regret nothing. No, please at me.
Put him in his place, guys, always.
This will go really well.
I know that I'm carrying on, never mind if you show.
Here's the hook.
I was just frontin', you know I want you, babe. I'm ready to bet it on, unless you don't care at all, but you know I want you.
That's a favorite lyric for me. I'm ready to bet it all, which I guess means either intercourse or getting into a relationship.
Right?
I'm ready to bet it all.
Yeah. Like,
I'm so attracted to you, I will eschew other sexual options. I'm ready to bet it all, unless...
You don't care
at all.
Yeah.
In which case, let's pretend this is not happening.
Like, never mind.
Okay. Unless, I mean, babe, I want you so bad. I mean, unless... You know, I mean, I didn't mean nothing by it.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Oh, boy.
It is. It's like, it's what a middle school aged kid, like an eighth grade dance kid would also say. And that's what's also weird is it is operating at many like years of like the way the insecurities you have about meeting a person.
Yes.
You have the same insecurities from like when you're 13 to like when you're 85.
Yes, that's true. And you asked earlier, how old is he when he's making this song? I think he's about 29 or 30 when this song came out. But he has lived through middle school and high school. And that and just like you're saying, those feelings are forever feelings. Hey, would you like to go out? I mean, see, obviously not. So let's pretend I didn't say that.
Look, honestly, I actually, looking back on it, I think it was a bad idea that I said that. So, like, I take it back and, like, totally never mind because I have, like, so many better things to do.
Yeah, these grapes obviously seem sour, so I would not have wanted to eat them even if they were available.
Babe, trying to be the best girlfriend you could be. Still, you sneak and look at me and, girl, I love it.
Oof. The video is very high school aesthetic, though. It's like mansion party with hot high schoolers
awesome.
Doing skateboarding stuff, but also hip hop stuff.
Love
that.
So, can you? I need a little help. Can you maybe unpack? Let's just scan these lyrics on this verse. This is their second verse.
Yeah,
and things got a little more complicated because now there's two girls in here. But I need a little help decoding it. Let me read them down. Trying to be the best girlfriend you could be, but still you sneak and look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And girl, I love it.
Yep.
Then you give your other girl a shove. Tell her you're gonna call her, ask how it was.
Yep.
And she's gonna love it.
Yeah. This is all very clear to me. Did you need some analysis here?
Yeah, this is only like 50% for me.
Girl code is that you go to a party with another girl and you have to make sure each other is okay when you do lock eyes and it's clear that you're going to like go home with a dude.
Okay.
Or bring a dude home and then she has to like check up on you, make sure everything's okay. So there's like a whole code of like party behavior. I think, like, again, I don't mean to like just paint broad gender brushes, but it seems like men are a little less, and then we're talking straight hetero, born cis hetero.
On this show, we're okay with painting with broad brushes as long as we acknowledge that the exceptions are many and varied.
This is, I'm just talking like cis hetero experiences right here. But
which
like,
is certainly the dynamic in which this song is written.
Exactly, exactly. And so I think like dudes will more just like walk away and give their friends no explanation about what's going to happen.
That's like, true. And the guys just have to be okay with like he's gone and the godspeed.
And that's and
wish
we'll
him
never
the best.
Know. Yeah. But with girls it's like no. There's like an itinerary laid out, you know, your
security protocols
are in place. It's actually great. It's loving and nurturing the way.
But it sounds like there is also like a lot of this is unspoken. Maybe you talked about it in advance, but then
totally.
When it's going down, you're still fronting, so you're not allowed to speak aloud. loud. Yeah, like, hello, are you okay?
Act real casual. You act real casual. And it's funny because, like, I've been in this situation like a million times. Mm-hmm. And I, like, my role as like a wingman would have been to just like check in on my friend, or like maybe I would be even flirting with another guy and I would say to the guy, hey, let's go check on my friend. She's like flirting with some guy, right? And it would be a fun little adventure with me and this other guy to go look and check on my friend who's with some other guy, yeah, right?
A way to flirt with him is to let him in on this corner of the girl code, yeah.
Exactly. Ooh, so okay, this part of the lyric, I want to say, remarkably accurate on Pharrell's part.
It feels like both girls are maybe hot for Pharrell, at least in his telling of it.
That right. Well, they decide, the two girls have decided which one is going to get him.
Okay.
So that's also something that happens.
Okay, yeah, it's their choice. Okay, great. Thanks. I think this is very helpful walkthrough, not just for me, but a big portion of our audience is going to, you've just read page 37 out of the manual, you know? okay, now things start to escalate a little bit with regards to the end game of tearing that ass up.
Yes.
Let's listen.
Yes.
We touched, then we locked eyes.
And I knew I wasn't there, and I was going to tear your ass up.
Mm-hmm. I know that I'm carrying on, never mind if I'm showing off. I was just frozen.
That's it. Never mind if I'm showing off.
Yeah.
Just like, we all know this might not all be true.
Right. It's just the costume.
We got another one for real.
Oh, okay. I'll just pause to say, like, just having Jay-Z on this track is a huge flex.
Pivotal to the song's success. But the Neptune Boys? What?
The Neptunes. They had produced I Just Want to Love You. The Neptune Boys.
Were already so big that getting Jay-Z was kind of like obvious, right?
I think so. And yet, for him to be blessing the track, so to speak, he's like the biggest rapper in the world already at that time. Right. Now he also is like Prince level emeritus. You know, he's ascended to another ethereal plane. But at that time, he's just the biggest rapper in the world.
Yes.
He's still tethered to this mortal coil.
Yeah.
And so this is a huge blessing. The Neptunes had produced hits for him. I Just Want to Love You. And had probably known him for some years, but they're behind the scenes. They're the beat makers, the guys that toil away in dark rooms. So for him to be like, yeah, I like you guys so much, and I believe in you, I'm going to come on this track as the guest, is massive and definitely helps
the
chart performance and the radio performance of this track.
But also, it's super fun, and I actually think Jay-Z, again, for this period where he was like extremely prolific and had tons of hits all the time, his songs all had this like dance fun, like this is it also reads like a Jay-Z track.
Yes. What better segue is there? I'm gonna roll it back to hear the whole of his rap.
Yep.
Here it is.
For real. I claim for real.
So far, he's just introducing himself.
There's a lot of introduction here.
Oh, when's he going to start? Oh, when's he going to...
Every time your name was brought up, I would act all nonchalant in front of an audience. Like you was just another shorty, I put the naughty on. But truth be told, you threw me for a loop this hole. I'm too old to be frontin' when I'm feeling. Then selling, acting like you ain't appealing when you are. Stuntin' like you ain't my only girl when you are. I'm gonna stop when you are.
It comes in and it disappears and it's so good.
This lyric too, which I love, that I'm too old to be frontin' when I'm feeling Denzel and you know, like that. It's just like, it's so cute. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if Jay-Z meant to be so cute.
It is a little cute. Yeah, he's not posturing as like the really hard guy from the project or whatever.
Exactly.
He's admitting to the same like middle school feelings of like, I'm too old to be fronting, but I'm acting.
Yes.
You know, and you're acting too, and we're all doing this dance. Tee-hee. It's a little tee-hee.
It's so cute.
Stunting like you ain't my only girl, like I'm a player.
You're like the only one I've looked at, ever. And I'm acting like I have so many. I don't.
Right,
but
we go steady.
Right, totally. I mean, he is like just it's his nerdiest moment, I think, in of his rapping career.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good, though. The cadence is just so good. He's at the top of his craft. It brings a lot to the track. You know, Pharrell's not rapping here. Pharrell is just doing his delightful falsetto that fades in and out of the foreground and the background. And Jay-Z steps in and just puts his stamp on it, you know. So I think, what do we have left? Like a little chorus and an outro. Let's check this out. You know I want you. We're about 3 minutes in. It's a 4 minute track. Again, that forward and back move of like, I'm ready to bet it all, unless you don't care at all. But this pendulum swings the other way. You know I want you.
Yeah, like, we don't get to see the devastation behind the scenes if she doesn't care at all.
Yeah, what if she had chosen that?
Yeah.
In the story of this song, obviously we know she cares.
She cares.
And in the story of the video, that's definitely what takes place. There's two girlfriends that come into the party, and they're egging each other on.
Yep. There's a locking of the eyes.
There's a locking of the eyes.
And there's some decision making that goes on there.
Yeah, it's some negotiation. Yep. Which girl is it going to be? Two high school cuties deciding which one is going to date Pharrell and maybe tear the various, you know, respectful asses up.
Yep.
I'm having some difficulty because clearly you and I have a lot of affection for this song.
Right.
And as a musician and chart watcher, I'm also thinking about all the stuff that came after this, like the way it sort of like put a stamp on hip hop. And also, you don't get Happy and Get Lucky and whatever else, even bigger hits 10 years later. You don't get those if this song didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about how I'm going to punch this up.
Oh, right.
And that's what we have to do now. Having listened through the song, we talked about some of the things in the lyrics, but we're pretty bullish on this. We're pretty positive on this thing.
Yeah. Where do you go from here?
Yeah. The job of this podcast, which I failed to introduce in the introduction of the show, is to take the greatest hits in history and make them greater, period.
Uh-huh.
It has been since the inception of the pod. I've been one of your hosts now for about half a year, sitting in this virtual chair here. And I have to say, our track record is 100%. It's A+. We always improve the songs.
Even if you do say so yourselves.
But you know, sometimes you got a real light lift.
Yeah, and it's easy.
You got a song with a real Achilles heel, or worse, you know, a song that's just hobbling along.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a song that I love and I feel like is nailing it on every front.
Yeah. I know you even busted out the keyboard and the chords, and it's like, how do you even do? I mean,
then you know I really love it. If I don't care about a song, then I don't play the piano during the episode.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, and also just the themes of this song are so fundamental to human attraction.
Yes.
What else is there to say?
Right. Okay, he's hit upon some very important anthropological themes, you know, like this is some human psychology stuff. The fronting, the like birds of paradise mating dances that you see in like a David Attenborough documentary are so laughable because you're looking at these like, what absurd creature that they would expend so much energy on these insane dances, building these bowers.
Right.
They're covered in plumage that is like absolutely absurd and serves no function other than display. It seems to be anti-evolution, and yet here we are.
No, peacocks are literally the subject of this song. You know, it's all just fronting.
It's all just the dancing with just the mating dance in the jungle of,
so that the peacock doesn't have to like fully betray their true heart
and preserve their own ego. You're protecting yourself
all the time.
I'm fronting and then telling you that I wasn't doing it.
Yes, all the time. It's a lot.
Okay. So I guess I could put the question to you first. Is there anything you hate about this song or that you wish was different, more clear?
Ooh. Is there anything? I mean, there's like truly nothing I hate about this song. I
really put you on the spot with that one. And
I know,
if the answer is, you know, you think the song's perfect. I mean, I hate it. I hate that answer. But it is ratcheting up the suspense. Like moments from now, we're going to say I'm taking a break, and then some period of several days is going to go by. To the listener, it is but a moment. It is but an instant.
Right. But for us, we experience it.
And the drama in declaring that this song appears to be perfect and has no flaws and then expecting me to go improve it, you know, narratively, maybe you're doing me a service.
Oh, God. I know. I don't envy your task here. I would say the only... I mean, this isn't even really a criticism, but I would say the only thing is Jay-Z spends a lot of time introducing himself.
Yeah.
And he could have tightened that up, or he could have given us some different content.
Yeah. That's definitely the style of the time. And that hasn't gone away. I mean,
well,
you could spend a lot of time on a track just being like, this is
with the introduction of the person.
I'm reciting my brand, all my various nicknames.
Yes.
I'm doing
stats.
You a favor by saying that I know you by saying, I'd say you're for real because you're the truth.
Yeah.
Even in the middle of his own rap, he paused to be like, this hove. In case you just tuned in, you're listening to
Jay-Z.
In case you just turned on the radio, this
hove. Are you familiar with my use of hove in relation to myself? Just want to make sure you guys know that's still in use.
Mm-hmm. So one idea is cutting down on the number of name drops, the number of identifications.
Of himself, let's get some social security numbers, let's get some childhood addresses, let's get other ways of identifying him.
Yeah, that could be really beneficial if Jay-Z came on a track and shouted out his mother's maiden name, last four of his social, some credit card digits.
Right.
He probably wouldn't miss a couple bucks here or there.
Oh, he probably wouldn't even notice.
And if some fans, you know, were able to cash in.
Yeah, do some nice identity theft.
Who loses there, you know?
Nobody, really.
A win-win.
Yeah. They'll catch it. His wealth manager will catch it in time.
Okay, I'm not going to do any more parsing of the lyrics because we already have so much good stuff. I'm gonna run off into my dungeon.
Awesome.
I'm gonna call you up in a couple of days and I'm gonna have a punched up version of this track. I'm not even putting up a facade here. I'm not even fronting about what's gonna happen. I'm telling the truth. I'm for real. We'll be back right after this. Okay, we're back. Nagin, let me tell you what I did to punch this thing up. My favorite part of our discussion was trying to decipher this arcane element, ancient language of flirting. When two teens are in a party and they look at each other and you have to present an image and you're fronting and you're lying a little bit and then you're playing a back and forth dance of like, do you understand that I'm faking it? Or we're both faking it? Here, how much do I let you in on this? And the original song, Frontin', is about that, but it's being a little bit coy, so I thought I could really punch it up by making that a little bit more explicit. The other thing I did is I was just so enamored of how Jay-Z keeps saying his own name as if the audience maybe is not sure of who this featured rapper is. So I just made a super cut from maybe 10 different Jay-Z songs of all the different times he introduces himself. And now
okay.
And now his rap is only that. So
right. It's kind of like how when you listen to like NPR or whatever, and then they like constantly have to reintroduce themselves in case someone is just tuning in. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nagin Farsad. You know what I mean? It's like that is what Jay-Z does, but on songs.
Yes, Jay-Z is a lot like NPR. Thank you.
I've always said that.
So has he. NPR! Okay, here we go. You're so skinny. Just kidding, you're fat. I've been wanting to get with you. Just kidding, I don't want to get with you.
Yeah. Don't want to sound full of myself or rude, but you suck and you look like poo. Now I'm just playing.
I'm sorry, babe. I plead temporary insanity.
I'd really like to get a chance to get some time down in your pants. This is my first time flirting.
Do I brag or nag you or both?
You don't know.
Then we locked eyes.
So hard to hold that eye contact. Felt like fire on my retina.
Felt like eyeball love.
Then we looked away.
And I felt so much relief down in my core, but I still wanted to have sex.
Do some penis vagina
stuff. I know that I'm bad at this. It's a problem I'm making this. I was just from.
I'm confused, but I hide it, baby.
Switching,
throw me a bone, babe.
Making it worse, you have
She likes me, so you play pretend. This shit is twisted.
I feel like I'm on drugs.
Can't tell if you like me or not. Everything is a facade. Your memo, I missed it.
Can't read these signals.
No.
Then we locked eyes.
The amount of stress has taken me to an inhuman level of discomfort.
Like a letter opener in my urethra.
Then we looked away.
And I came back from near death, but I still wanted to have sex.
Oh, my body's a prison.
I know that I'm bad at this. It's a problem I'm making.
Say I didn't want you anyway. Made it dance.
Is a hear that boy Jay-Z, Rockefeller, yo, know the name, Young H-O, it's Hova,
Jigga,
Jay-Z, Hova, H to the is all J, A, ladies, tell me, say it now, Y, Z, just my thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, just what I'm feeling at the time, you know what I mean?
It's a problem I'm making,
how is back,
who loves pretending, babe,
I act like I care a lot, unless you don't care. I switch it.
The Rock.
Say I didn't want you anyway.
Take a seat.
Let me see you later. Guess you don't want to. I'm down, like for real. But I'm gonna have to. I need this. Unless you're into it, then I really need it.
Oh my god. That was tremendous.
And that's it.
That was the, like, rules, whatever that book was that whoever wrote in the early 2000s about how guys should, like, send mixed signals in order to pick up women or whatever.
Yeah, the
that
game.
That was like all of those things. Did you, cuz the book, I mean, like, I never read this book. So, like, this is me fourth hand telling you what this book was about that I barely remember existed. But, like, that I think it was that you would just say, like, mean things but also nice things, and then it would draw a woman in, which I hope that we have gone beyond that as a society, but I don't know that we have. I'm just not on the scene anymore, so I cannot verify if it's still happening. But
yes,
this is,
I
like,
had that in mind. The book was called the Game, and I used to hear
the game.
I was sort of maybe too young for it, maybe, but I used to hear women talking about it like it had gotten oversaturated, this concept of negging, namely saying something, saying something annoying to a girl so that then you would sort of be stuck in her head. And that basically awareness of that practice had then become known in the female community, so they're aware that these wannabe pickup artists are out there doing it.
Exactly. It took on like a folklorish quality, because like women would just be like, I heard dudes are reading this book called The Game or something. And again, I think it was like, it came out before my time in the dating world, but like it lasted just people talking about that book for like years, I think. Because I remember as recently as like when I was last single in 2014, a dude like joking about it to me, who was also hitting on me, you know what I mean? and I was like, oh sir, get out of here, you know. But what a clever
way to hit on someone, to indicate that you've read a book about being a pickup artist.
Yes!
But you have disdain for it.
So ridiculous. By the way, it was at a conference about like unions. Anyways, it doesn't matter. So all of it weird. But the other thing I loved about this piece was that Jay-Z just constantly naming himself felt so organic, like it was the original recording.
Yeah, you
like,
would have bought it.
It did not seem out of place at all whatsoever. It was just like, oh, that's what happened in that song.
Yeah, I think that's the way I remember it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, oh my gosh, this was so hilarious. And I also just want to, in case listeners didn't catch, there was like The other fun thing about the song was that there was like, I still want to have sex, like do some penis vagina stuff. This guy is so bad at flirting. He like just says the like biological thing that would happen. You know what I mean? There's just some really fun. And also like holding eye contact, how painful that is. I love that.
There
are some really just honest moments about the treachery of flirting in our modern lives in this piece, and what an indictment on the world of flirting.
That's the perfect compliment, because that's what we're going for, is a little bit of honesty in what it means to be fronting when you're out there. Yes, on the scene.
Yes, loved it.
Man, well, in that case, we're going to rate this one successfully punched up. Great success.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that should be a stadium applause.
That felt like more like a club inside a club applause.
I'm going to insert this one. In that case, we'll rate this one successfully punched up. Yeah, baby.
There it is. There it is.
I clicked on stadium cheer for that one. Every episode, we take you on a journey. We walk through a song, we jump on a punch-up, and then, right when you think we'd be walking out of the episode, instead, we walk in with a little segment I like to call Walk-In Music.
What is your walk-in music?
And that's when our guests and we share with you a song that we love, that we would like to use as our walk-in music to a scenario of our choosing. I'll go first this week. I'm not going to put you on the spot. The last couple of weeks, I've chosen some really obscure stuff. So this week, I'm going mainstream, and I'm picking a big hit, but it's a big one that I love. And my jumping off point was thinking about the long and spectacular and varied career of the Neptunes. And this is a track off of Justified, the first solo album by Justin Timberlake after he broke free of NSYNC. And my scenario is, and this is a stretch, but just imagine I'm in the produce section and the vibe has dropped. Something has killed the vibe and people have stopped dancing. And people have stopped hitting on each other. And, you know, whatever you do, maybe the rutabagas got too soft. And the vibe has been killed. So I rush to the front where they have the little mic that the cashiers can call clean up on aisle 7, that type of thing, and I commandeer it. But I don't have any instruments, so I have no choice but to start beatboxing this breakdown from Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake. People look up and the swerve is back. The seduction is back on in between the citrus fruits. And that's it, man. That it's not so much a walk-in as a dance-in, I guess. It's a beatbox-in to get your groove back. But I really think this could work. If you're ever in a pinch and all you have is a microphone, this song will do it. This is your ticket to getting the hot back in your kumquat. Please, somebody do this and send me the video. You have brought a really cool track. Tell us about it.
It's called Boasty, and it's by Wiley, but notably featuring Idris Elba, like mainly doing Idris Elba of Star, you know, of Screen and Stage.
Extremely famous and sexiest man alive.
Sexiest man alive. Extremely famous. You don't know him to be a DJ and a musician, and yet he is.
He is.
And Shauna Paul, I like to pronounce it in the way that he does in the song. Shauna Paul is also in this song, doing a feature, and there's another person, I think I'm blanking on her name, but it's such a fun song. And again, shockingly, Idris Elba drives this song.
Steflon Don, is that the person you're thinking of?
Oh yeah, probably. Yes, I guess.
This is Boasty by Wiley featuring Steflon Don, Sean Paul, and Wildcard, Idris Elba. I'm gonna hit play, then paint me a picture if you have a walk-in scenario in mind.
Sure. Yes.
Ooh.
That's Idris.
Godfather.
Nuts.
That's Idris?
That's
come on.
Idris. Yep. So now that you heard,
he's a Brit, but he's kind of doing a patois here over this like reggaeton beat.
Exactly.
Okay.
Phenomenal. So first of all, it's a summer party, and it is on a rooftop. I'll also allow a backyard.
Okay.
And you walk in, and everybody's already there. You showed up fashionably, like just so.
Yes.
And so the party is happening, but the song comes on, and everyone's like, "Oh shit!" And then everyone just starts dancing, and you get in there, and you don't even get a drink first. You just get to dancing. And that's it. That's the whole rest of the party. And it's like summer. So summer.
Oh, I love it. You just described the most pure, the most elemental of walk-in scenarios, which is this is your entrance music to the party.
Yeah.
And the best version of that is when everyone knows it's your song. It's your theme.
Yes.
So like their heads didn't even have to look at the doorway to know that you're coming in. They don't need
need
a herald at the top of the stores.
Right.
You know, introducing the Baroness Nagin.
No, they literally are like, oh, Nagin's here. Like that, we know from the song.
That huge timbale.
Yes.
That's the signal.
And everyone's like, you know what? Fuck it. It's time to really start the party.
Yes, and the bartender turns around, and it's actually Idris Elba.
Yeah, exactly. And he just, the thing is, he used to spend a lot of time in Ibiza doing his DJing.
Nothing could be less surprising to
me. Right. And he's got that, like, I just got back from Ibiza glow on his face.
that telltale Ibiza glow.
Oh, how fun is this party?
How great is this party?
Love this party.
Ooh, this is a great pick, Nagin. Again, for the listeners, this is Boasty, BOASTY, by Wiley, featuring Stefflon Don, Sean Paul, and star of stage and screen, Idris Elba. Wow. I didn't know this track before you brought it in.
I'm so glad I brought it in.
That's a great pick. This is a Hall of Fame walk-in music segment. Before we wrap the pod, Nagin, we must talk about your show.
Yeah.
And we must promote it sufficiently because you are hosting, and it's going on 6 years now, you are hosting one of the great comedy political talk shows, the great comedy chat shows in which you actually talk about issues of the day.
We like to call them issues, but yeah.
You break them down and you get some ha-has.
Yes, that's
highly
exactly.
recommend this podcast. This is good for your ha-has. It's good for your heart and your brain. You feel like you understand the news when you listen to the show. It's called Fake the Nation. And yours truly is, depending on the time of this episode coming out, I am either on an upcoming or recently released episode of Fake
it'll
the Nation.
It'll be a recently released episode of Fake the Nation. And you will have killed it.
Thank you in advance.
And we love having people like Evan on. We have a ton of comedians on, like Margaret Cho and Samantha Bee. We just had Neil deGrasse Tyson on, and not a comedian, but he can hang. And you know, it's a really fun show. Me and funny people breaking down news and culture and politics. So listen to it. It's every week.
My highest recommendation is that you go check out an episode of Fake the Nation and give the pod a follow. If they want to follow you on other platforms, Nagin, what is your at?
Well, you should follow me on all of the horrible social medias at Nagin Farsad. And I should also point out that you can find the season 2 of Bird Girl, of which I am a member of the cast, on HBO Max. It's an Adult Swim show. If you enjoyed season 1, it was really fun. I'm the mind taker. It's super ridiculous and a hilarious show. So I recommend it's coming out in June.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Coming out in June. Much like the song Frontin' came out in June.
An expert host would find a connection like that.
Oh,
so good.
Brother, I tell you what, the segues we find over here is some real garbage. You know, Fake the Nation. Would you say that you're faking your understanding of politics? Would you say that you're fronting?
Fronting the Nation!
Hey-o!
And I just changed the name. There it is.
Yeah, you could do like one of those, like when IHOP changed to IHOB. Like a fake rebrand
Just for a couple weeks.
But it's you're just promoting the new bacon thing.
Right.
Then you just change it back. It could be fronting the nation for 1 week.
Yeah, totally. I'll change the name of my show to The McRib Sandwich. Seasonal, only available.
That would get you some clicks, though.
Yeah, right?
It would.
I'll take it.
Yeah, people love a McRib. You can follow this show at Punch Up The Jam, or you can follow me personally at Get Some Evan on the platforms. But the platform I most recommend to you, connoisseur of punched up music, is the show's Patreon, which is at patreon.com/Gregory Brothers, link in the description. And that is the place where you can get the insanely good punch ups that you've heard today and every week on this show. And you can get them without me cackling like a moron over top of the playback. You can just listen to them in your free time. Send them to your friends. Seem like the coolest guy in your friend group because you played a version of the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way, but it was about missionary sex. What's cooler than that? We figured out what way they want it. This has been Punch Up The Jam with your delightful guest, Nagin Farsad. I'm Evan Gregory, and we'll see you next week.
Let's punch it.
Suck my dick, Shelley Cominelli.
That was a HeadGum original.